I wanted to start my sermon this morning by telling you that the yoke is on you. But I knew you were too sophisticated for that kind of humor, so I'm not going to. In this second half of the church year, the long season of Sundays in Pentecost that will take us all the way to the last Sunday in November, we are focused on the teachings of Jesus. That first half of the church year, from Advent to Pentecost, is all about festivals. It's all about the celebration of the birth, the life, death, resurrection, and ascension of Jesus. But now in this season of Pentecost, we are focused on his teachings. The teachings of Jesus have but one purpose, and that is to instruct his followers in the art of discipleship. Today's lesson is about yokes. Of course, in this day, probably very few people even know what a yoke is. Given today's farming technology, fewer and fewer people ever stepping foot on a farm, I'm really not sure that many people know what a yoke is. So let's start there, where Jesus says, "My yoke is easy and my burden is light." A yoke is a wooden frame that was fitted across the necks of two oxen, joining them together so they could pull a plow. I am sure all of you have seen pictures of these mighty beasts tilling the soil. You've watched how they have pulled together through the rocky soil. Or perhaps they have pushed forward in a straight line or slogged their way up an incline together. The yoke actually made the work of the animals easier because they worked together, making the job faster, more effective, but of course, it was confining. And for people who have just celebrated their Independence Day, a day when we commemorate freedom and our freedoms, the freedoms that we enjoy, perhaps a message about something confining seems ironic or out of place even. We don't like people telling us what we can do or what we can't do. And this, unfortunately, is how many people see the Christian faith. People see how Jesus wanted them to live, and they find it very confining. Why, there are rules, are there not? There are do's and don'ts. Jesus even said it's a straight kind of life in the sense of a narrow way. And our usual response is to try to figure out a way to get around what Jesus wants us to do with our lives. There must be some kind of exception. Perhaps we'll find it with science or sociology or even psychology. Or maybe we'll just simply say, well, yes, I know, but they're goals, they're ideals, there are things to strive to. You can't really achieve them, but it's nice to think about them. Let's take one of those. Forgiveness. You just can't go around forgiving everybody for Christ's sake. Can you? I mean, people are going to take advantage of you. They're going to take advantage of that free and unconditional offer of forgiveness. And you really can't expect the whole world to experience peace and love. In fact, we can't even feed the whole world or even clothe the whole world. I mean, all of these things that Jesus talks about, feeding and healing and forgiving. I mean, get real, Jesus. Get real. And that is exactly what Jesus does. He gets real. This is a Jesus who knows the real world, the same real world that you and I live in. A Jesus who lived and loved and healed and fed and forgave and blessed and died in this real world. But that's just it, isn't it? That's the scandal. That's the part that we don't really get. The fact that he died, he shouldn't have died. Who wants a God who dies, for crying out loud? We need a Savior. We don't need somebody who dies. We need a Savior. We need a God who does something besides dying for whatever. We need a God who stops the violence in families, in neighborhoods, our community, and even in our churches. We need a God who will make peace happen in a tri-storied world. And a good place for God to begin is right there in the Mideast, don't you think? And I want a God who ensures that every child has enough food to eat, clean water to drink, and to be able to survive another day. I want a God who will change the world, but not necessarily affect my own personal life. Does that sound like your God? Whether it is the narrow way that is confining, or that the burdens of the world that seem to go unchanged, the gospel has never promised that it would be easy. There are times when we know how uneasy it is, if only to look at our own lives. Our own lives, our lack of honesty, and our concern for others. The envy we feel when others have more than what we have, whether it's privilege or status or money or recognition. And there are days when we are just simply overwhelmed by the nitty-gritty of life. The day-to-day struggles of being a family member, a brother or a sister, a parent, or an older child with an elderly parent, with being a student or a husband or a wife. And we know well exactly what it is the apostle St. Paul said in his letter to the Romans when he wrote, "I do not understand my own actions, for I do not what I want, but I do the very thing I hate." When we feel overwhelmed by life, discouraged and disappointed by what is going on in our world, when we grow so weary of the endless violence, and our own failure to live up to even the standards we have set for ourselves, let alone what Christ has set for us, then it is when we need to remember most Jesus' promise this morning: "My yoke is easy and my burden is light," that we are indeed yoked to the Savior Jesus Christ, to his promises to us. What does it mean to be yoked? I remember the first 12 years of my life, I grew up on a farm along the Green River in the Kent Valley. My dad was a communications engineer for the county, but what he loved and what he considered to be his real job happened when he got home. After he parked the car in the driveway and changed into his overalls, he went out to work the farm. And one of the things he did was plow the fields, and I wanted to do it with him. Ours was a small farm, and we couldn't afford one of those great big tractors. So my father had a tractor that you actually stood behind with two handles. It was about the size of four lawnmowers blown up. And there you would see him plowing that field. I wanted to do it with him. He had his doubts, of course, but he let me try. The problem was the plow took me where it wanted to go instead of me taking it where my father wanted it to go. I couldn't understand it. He could do it, but I could not. And then what he did, rather than tell me, no, you can't do this, Wayne, he said, hang on. And then he walked beside me with his left hand on one of the grips, handles for the plow. And while his hand was on it with me, I plowed a straight line. It is this that we must remember. We are not in this world alone. We are yoked to our Lord Jesus Christ. It happens in the waters of holy baptism. In the waters of holy baptism, we are yoked to Christ, to both his death and his resurrection. He is with us, pulling and plowing with us. We are also yoked to one another. That is why we call it the church, the body of Christ, the communion of saints. We are yoked. We don't do this by ourselves. We do it together. We are sent into the world, into our neighborhoods and our communities, our schools and our workplaces, to act justly as Jesus acted. We are sent to press our government and institutions to create policies of justice and peace. We are sent to be a sign of God's promise and hope. We are this because of what it is Christ Jesus has done for us in his death and resurrection. We are buried with him by baptism into a death like his so that we might be raised with him in a resurrection like his. It is by faith, simply trusting in the promises of Christ, that there is no sin, there is no failure, there is no disappointment, there is no defeat. We lose our lives to find our lives, to find our lives in the waters of holy baptism, to find our lives and our nourishment every time we come to this table. We come together yoked, and we leave together yoked from Christ's table to do nothing less and nothing more than to plow the fields of the world, to plow those fields. If we take Jesus' yoke upon our shoulders, we accept the mission of Jesus. We do it in the power of the Holy Spirit and in the company of each other. For we are yoked to one another with all the saints who have gone before us and even those who are yet to come. And each time we receive his very body and blood, we not only hear again the promise of forgiveness, but we also hear that what we eat, we are his body in the world. To go forth from this table to plow the field, that is our mission. For that is what we do as baptized Christians, yoked to our Lord Jesus Christ. We plow the fields with the love and grace of God for everyone. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.